Well, good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to everybody that's a mother here today. So glad that you're able to, you know, carve out a part of this time for you to be able to join with us here. I thought I'd just start out with a recent research finding with regards to parenting and children. This may confirm what some of you have suspected for a while, some of the mothers that are here. And it has to do with insanity within the family. And that is the fact that insanity is actually hereditary. Did you know that it comes from your children? How many had suspected that and now have the scientific backing to go that way? Well, once again, we are so glad that you're here with us, especially guests today, because we have been looking at the power of the trust factor and how that impacts it. Literally, trust affects everything. It touches all aspects of life. We've learned that it's the keystone to opening things up spiritually for us. It's also something that affects everything at work. We've learned that trust is either a tax that we're daily having to pay, it's extracted against us, or it's a dividend that it just pays over and over and over again. Trust affects everything at home. It affects every single relationship. Today we want to look at, so how do you become this person of trust? How do we leverage becoming trustworthy so that we're able then to be able to have trust work as a positive force in all of our lives? And I thought, you know, it's really appropriate that Mother's Day we start out this aspect of the trust factor, because every mom's prayer, goal for your child, I'm sure dad's too, but every mom's prayer and goal for their child is that they would become a person of trust. That is, to be a trustworthy one. The greatest gift that a mom, again, or dad, greatest gift a mom could give her child is to be a person of trust, because if their child has one that is trustworthy there, it is a rudder, it is a stabilizing factor for so many, many other aspects of life that way. So let's ask the bazillion dollar question. How do I become a person of trust? How do I develop the trust factor in me? Now, as I looked at this, it surfaced a problem that I didn't realize was as big a problem as it is in my life. I realized that I'm suffering from this. Maybe you can say it with me here. Catastitchophobia. Now, if you suffer from it too, I feel your pain. Familiar with it? Let's try and say it together. Catastitchophobia. Just kind of gives you the willies, doesn't it? Like nobody wants to have to suffer from catastitchophobia. So as I was looking into how do you become a person of trust, what I discovered was not that there wasn't an answer, because there is. The problem became in the answer itself. You see, the answer that God gives to us comes in the form of a list. Catastitchophobia is the fear of lists. How many are list makers out there? Okay, so you're not feeling my pain or what this, you know, this fear can do for me. I mean, now I'm not a hater, not a list hater in any stretch of the imagination. I do think it's bizarre that somebody would actually write a book of lists. And if it's the new book of lists, that must have meant there was an old book of lists. And if you need a book that either tells you how or gives you the list to write, I think there's a psychosis, a different psychosis that, you know, that you may be struggling with. But you might be wondering, like, well, why do you have such a great fear of lists? As a teacher, as one who wants to communicate and help people with life change, whenever I see a list or to be forced into teaching a list, it's like getting a hairball. Ever see a cat with a hairball? cat with a hairball is a beautiful thing. Like, how many of you ever heard somebody say, I just got a list that changed my life? I mean, you don't get it, do you? Lists are hard. I mean, if I gave you a list of 7 things today, by the time you got to the car, wouldn't you be going, what was number 3? What do I need for number 5? How do these, you know, go together? I mean, they're not sticky. If you're given a list that you have to teach to somebody else, you don't have the liberty to change or manipulate it. I mean, there's this cold sweat that began to break out as I realized this is what's in front of me. Now, it may go back to this, you know, childhood trauma that I went through. It was my realization that I had to know all of this and do all of this list in less than 1.5 seconds if I was going to be able to hit a golf ball. Catastrophophobia comes over me every time that I stand over a ball. Now, some of you may feel that pain and know what that's all about there. But I'll tell you, I don't think I've overcome my phobia, but I've certainly surrendered to God in this. Because I learned that God actually gives us a couple of lists in His Word, and they are really helpful. They're actually powerful tools that He offers to us. So let's take a look at the list today. The answer to the question, how do I develop the trust factor? Well, it's found in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn with me. It's almost all the way at the very, very back of the Bible, so you can start at the back and work up. But if you didn't bring a Bible, if you can find a pew Bible somewhere nearby you, let me encourage you, grab it right now. Turn with us to page 1893. Verse 5 starts out this way. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. That's the list. And it goes on to say, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then Peter's going to open up. This is how God is going to be able to begin doing a work in you that you are going to be so glad that is taking place, even as He realized in His life as well. Now, having gotten the list in front of us, before we can unpack it, just a couple of notations about the list. I hope these will be very, very helpful for us. The first thing is this. We need to remember that the list is not a list of particulars, but rather it's going to be a list of systems that are being given to us with regards to trust. Now, here's what I mean by that, and we can, I think, relate to it pretty well by just considering our own physiology. Our human body, our health, is made up of systems. So, well, your respiratory system, your skeletal system, digestive system, you know, etc. You've got these systems. Now, each of these systems are unique. Now, at the same time, they are interdependent. You need them all. You could say that you are as healthy as, now think about this, you're as healthy as your strongest or weakest system. Yeah, exactly. You know, you can have great bones, you know, lungs working great, digestive's good, but if you got a bad ticker, how healthy are you? Yeah, everything else can be great, but that one thing will shut you down. Now, this is not just, you know, goodness, okay? You know, that's, you know, just a single thing that we're working on. That is a system that's going to open up for us. Every one of these 7 are systems that will give us more and more understanding, as well as to be able to live out and to be that person of trust that way. We'll need all of them. To ignore one of them, well, that would be very problematic as well. So we need all of the list because they're unique systems that way. That's why we want to unpack them together. Second thing about the list is this. God hasn't given us a checklist. In other words, you know, goodness, check. Self-control, check. It's not a list that you're just going on, got it, you know, done that way. Now, for some people, lists are simply the means to be able to check something off or scratch something off in your life. Can I ask this? How many of you that are list takers, makers out there will do something that's not on your list, but because you've got it done, you go back and you write it down on your list just so that you can cross it off? Fess up. Let me see it. That is sick. I mean, that is not productivity. So God didn't give you a list. Go like, you know, got it. Okay, now I am a trustworthy person. You know, you just announced it that way, right? No, that's not it at all. He starts out this way. He says, make every effort. The whole idea is you need to focus. You know, there's a purposefulness with each aspect of the list. And then he wraps it up saying, if these are in you in increasing measure, every one of these systems are things to be grown in and to be continue to be developed and leveraged. And in fact, you'll see new insights into them, and trust will begin to grow and build as a result of it, deepen as a result of it. Third thing about the list is we need to remember that the list isn't in a particular order. In other words, you got to do one before you do two, before you do three, before you do four. In other words, number seven is love. No love until you get self-control down. You know, don't think about perseverance if you don't have knowledge taken care of. You know, that's not how the list is. So there's no order to it. You don't have to, you know, one is not going to be dependent on the other as far as the order goes, but remember that they're interdependent within each other. And the last thing about the list is this, that the list is all that is built upon a prerequisite. So before you can unpack it, before you could live it or experience it, you need the prerequisite in place. Now, as we started out, it said, make every effort to, then here were the words, add to your, remember what it was? Yeah, add to your faith. So faith is foundational for the list to be active in our lives or activated in our lives. Now, why is that so important? And I hope there's a lot of just encouragement in this. It's because Jesus says, I will help you. I'll help you to be the person of trust you desire to be, that you won't be without the help that I'm offering to you. Remember, it was Peter that wrote this list? This list, rather than being just a static document, you'll discover this is a life story that unfolds. Peter says, I know how Jesus can help. In fact, he had kind of pre-written that in there. So we read verses 5 and 6, but there are two means that Jesus used to help Peter to learn and live the list. There's actually two means that Jesus worked in Peter's life and in every person's life. See if you can pick these up. First, we started out, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Peter is saying this power, this divine power of Jesus, we often refer to it as grace. Grace is God's strength, God's enabling, God's help for whatever it is that he is asking us to do or desires for us to be able to experience in our lives. So Jesus never leaves you without help. It doesn't tell you go out and do it without being there to help you with it. The other means that Jesus used with grace, we find in the next verse, happened to be verse number 4. Peter says, through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, that through them. Now, the great and precious promises, we could refer to as the Bible. Jesus would usually use this word, truth. The two means that Jesus wants to work in our life through would be grace and truth, and the importance of both of those together. And when we have grace and truth in our lives, that is what will bring us to this faith, putting our trust in Jesus himself. That becomes foundational for all these other aspects of the trust factor that he wants us to have. I think we have just some extraordinary family ministries and ministry opportunities here at Fox River. I asked for a couple of just quick faith stories, kind of give us examples of, you know, how do you get a foundation of faith underneath you that way. But we kind of drilled a little bit more into it by saying, could we ask some moms to do it, and maybe moms that are helping other moms? And so Erica, Jessica, Sarah were kind of tapped and said, hey, would you just share a little bit with us real quickly? They were willing to do so. This is what they did for us.
Happy Mother's Day. My name is Erica. I'm a co-director of Mom Time here at Fox River. Today we are talking with two of our mom's ministry leaders, Sarah and Jessica. At what point in your faith journey do you feel as though you really began to grow?
I grew up in a Christian home, so was always taught that way, believe, you know, in God and all those things. And as I got married, I realized my relationship with the Lord wasn't where it should be. We were just kind of staying at home. I never opened my Bible. I think it probably had been a couple years since I opened my Bible. I don't remember the last time I had prayed. So we had decided, since we were married and now we had our second child, we had a 2-year-old and an infant, we probably should start looking for a church if we say we're going to raise our kids as Christians. And so we did. And we church shopped for a while, and that's always difficult. But then we decided on Fox River, and this is where we ended up. My husband absolutely loved it. I figured if he was willing to go, this is where I was going to go. And so I felt like God had just really prompted us to be here. In the bulletin, there was an advertising for Mom Time. And I thought this would be a great ministry for me to get involved in. I had 2 young kids, and they said they were gearing towards mothers of young children. And so I thought, hey, that sounds like me. I just really felt God started to grow my faith during that time, just meeting different women in that group, really getting mentored, and just the encouraging word I heard every Tuesday morning. I remember one time the topic being on why we scream at our children, and that was something I was struggling with at the time, really screaming at my children, yelling at my children. And I remember praying about that, saying, I no longer want to scream at my children, Lord. I really want to do what you want me to do. And I remember about a couple days later, I lost my voice. And so I thought that was pretty God-sent, because he knew I couldn't do it on my own.
Sarah, I know that you grew up in the church, but at what point did you really start to feel your faith growing?
3 years ago, I joined a Friday morning 2030s group. Due to my work schedule, I have off on Fridays, so it kind of fit in. The summer was wrapping up, and one of my good friends was not going to be able to continue on with us on Friday mornings because she is a teacher and she will be in school. We were kind of discussing on how sad we were that she wouldn't be able to do it until she popped up and said, Sarah, you really should start your own and for working moms. I was like, I don't know. I've never led anything in my life, let alone be a leader. I took that chance to say yes to God and sent an email to sign up to be a leader in a journey group. And through that journey group and the women that are in my journey group, God has worked tremendously in our group. And through that, I have been able to grow my faith.
So quite a few years down the road, you are now a co-director of Mom Time with a passion of helping other moms grow in their faith. In what ways?
What I've learned in His Word as I've now opened it and read it daily, my prayer life has grown tremendously during this time, and I just am thankful that I can be a part of helping other moms, especially moms with young kids, and just really knowing those trenches sometimes and just saying I've come through it and I'm on the other side of some of the things, and now just to be able to share with them what I've learned and what God has really taught me.
Thank you, Sarah and Jessica, for taking time to share your stories with us today. If you're a mom and would like more information as to a group that best fits your schedule, we invite you to stop by the Women's Ministry cart after service.
Can we give a quick word of appreciation to Erica, Jessica, Sarah, not just for sharing, but for what it is they're doing to help other moms? And if you've got interest in that, you know, just stop by and see them in the gym afterwards out there. Now, I realize that, you know, there are many in here that struggle with ecclesia chronophobia. And for this very reason, what we've just tried to do today is to lay the foundation we'll need to unpack the list next week. We'll also take, as we wrap the series up next week, just a few minutes to discuss what happens if you lose trust. Can trust be restored or rebuilt again? Some of you are wondering, what in the world is ecclesia chronophobia? It's the fear of long church services. How many say, I got that? Yeah. I mean, it's Mother's Day, right? My wife said, go long, you die. That's pretty simple. So let me just move to our bottom line here today. And the bottom line that I want you to walk out with is this. Trust the list. Would you say that with me? trust the list. Now, by that we mean we want to learn the list. We want to live the list. One of the reasons that learning the list is going to be so important for us is because of what God has shared with us. And that's this, that faith by itself, simply receiving Jesus, isn't enough. I can't tell you how nervous I am to stand before this TV screen with that written on it right now. Because it just like goes against everything we, you know, that we want to say. But here's an insight that Jesus gave to us. Jesus told us, simply receiving Jesus doesn't make you trustworthy. Doesn't make you a trustworthy person. Now for some, there is an aha that is going to take place. Peter would be the first to attest to this. He goes like, I had put my faith and trust in Jesus. But boy, there were some things that were still badly broken within my life. If I were to ask, how many know a person that says they're a Christian, but their trust factor is not high? In fact, their trust factor is pretty low. How many could say, I think I know somebody like that? Please don't look at the person around you at this point, right? But rather than looking out that way and say, I wonder if they're really Christian, if that's how they act. It's better to look in. And I can tell you that having received Jesus, and when I did, it did not transform me immediately into being a person of trust. You will not become a person of trust unless you take the list to heart. Now, I know that's the challenge. And I want to challenge you right now, this week, to learn the list. That is to come back next week having memorized those seven systems that are in the list. Now, some of you hear the word memorize and you're already freaking out. I know that. You can do this. I know it's tough. I mean, we don't have a jingle that this goes with. You know, we haven't found out one letter to start all of these with. We're just kind of working with God's list here. I have heard a couple creative things as in the first few services that we've done about this so far. But because I knew it would be such a big challenge for us, I thought, let me give you an incentive for learning the list. So here it is. Next week, for everyone that has learned the list, you are going to get a 10% discount on your giving. I kid you not. For some of you, it'll be the first time you give a gift here at Fox River because you just can't pass up a deal. I mean, you just can't get away from saving money. You learn the list, you give 100, you save 10. Some people give 1,000, save 100. For some of you, you have the opportunity to save $1,000 in one day. And think about it. All you got to do is learn the list, be able to, you know, recite it out or and give 10,000. I mean, that's motivating, isn't it? You can do this. And I'll tell you, list learning is not my forte. Don't like lists. Anybody ever pick up on that I don't like lists? Yeah. But as I looked at these, it's like, oh, if it's that important, then I got to work at doing it. So I'll take a crack at it now. No prompters or anything else. If I get stuck, I'll just ask you for it. The list that is for trustworthiness being built in our lives. Number one is goodness. Number two, knowledge. Number three, self-control. Number four, perseverance. When we unpack perseverance next week, some operative questions with this, I think this in and of itself, you're just going to go like, "That's now I understand it. Now I get it." I'm just stalling for time because I can't remember what number five is. Number five is godliness. Number six is kindness. I'll tell you why kindness is going to be the best translation for that. And when you get a list of seven things from God and there's one blank left, what do you go with if you can't think of anything else? That's what I would go with. And then love. You can learn the list. And here's my invitation. If you have not yet move from believing in Jesus to trusting in Jesus, that is receiving him individually as your Savior, Jesus, I trust what you did on the cross to be everything I need to restore my broken relationship with God, to help me with my sin, in fact, to help me in life with grace and truth. If you haven't done that, Jesus said, come. He always says, come as you are and come to me now. You can do that right now. The second thing is, if you desire to grow in your trust factor, then make sure that you're here with us next week. I mean, you can bring a friend. Personally, I'm even looking forward to what I'm going to be saying next week. So, I mean, hope that you'll be here with us. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace and truth and how we need both of these working simultaneously in our lives. That you provided Peter with the list that he needed that trust could flourish in his life as well as more. I pray that will be the truth for us as well. For those that are here and they're ready to move from believing in you to trusting in you, as they just say in their own words, that's what I want, Jesus. I want to trust in what you did on the cross to be sufficient for me. That's all I need. I want to trust you for helping me with grace and truth and life change. And as best I know how, I ask you for it now. We pray each of these things in the name of Jesus, Father, and everybody in agreement said, amen. Amen.